It's another ho-hum Netflix original. Today I'm talking about Lift. This is Scott's self-indulgent movie podcast. Hello, movie friends. Welcome to Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. I am Scott, and today I am talking about Lift, which is one of the more recent Netflix original productions. Not one of the ones they've acquired rights to, but one that they actually did in-house. And it's one that's very frustrating and has kind of lends itself to discussing the trends within Netflix original movies that makes them as frustrating as they are, because I think there's a lot of potential in being a streaming distributor that produces and distributes and, you know, funds your own movies, but then they keep doing stuff like this, and I wonder why. Why they keep doing stuff that is so bland and so just kind of, it's there. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. So, that's what the general vibe of this review is going to be. It's going to be both a commentary on the movie itself and also the commentary on Netflix original movies as well. So, without further ado, let's get started. One of the most frustrating things about Netflix is that it could and should be one of the best places to produce and distribute movies that either aren't getting funding or made by big studios that put all of their time and money behind quote-unquote safe bets. The mid-level movies that folks have been clamoring for and have actually succeeded at the box office, basically because they show up in theaters like this year's Anyone But You or The Beekeeper. Instead, Netflix seems to put the most money in advertising for flash-in-the-pan movies that will be number one on streaming for one weekend before disappearing into the ether. Like, did any of you watch The Gray Man or Red Notice more than once? Did you even manage to finish those movies? Doesn't look like the don't look at the budgets, it'll drive you insane. I bring all of this up because today's review of Lift is pulling double duty as a review of this movie and the state of Netflix original movie division. Kevin Hart plays Cyrus, the leader of a highly competent crew of thieves that just got rounded up by Interpol. But Interpol is offering a deal. Help them take down an evil banker slash terrorist via a near impossible heist, and the whole crew goes free. Out of options, Cyrus and his team begin to plan their most difficult heist to date. So I'll admit that the basics of this film are fine. The premise is fine. The actors are all pretty well suited to their roles minus our lead, but we'll get to that. And I like the general anti-authority vibe that runs through this movie. That said, this movie also irritated the shit out of me for a whole host of reasons, so let's start with an easy one. Which is, why did the effects in this movie look so bad? This movie cost $100 million to make. Keep that number in mind if you watch it or see the clips of the action beats from this movie, because there's no excuse for a movie with that budget to look this bad in certain spots. The main issue is that the majority of the actual heist and action takes place on a plane. Not necessarily a problem, but it is a problem when so much of the plot revolves around aerial acrobatics, including, no joke, messages plastered onto the plane and potential intervention from local air forces all taking place in broad daylight. Now, it doesn't help that I've got solid blends of practical and CGI effects magic fresh in my mind from Top Gun Maverick and Dune Part 2 in my brain, but something like exhaust or even the form of the plane shouldn't look worse than the original Iron Man. This is an area where the script or the location should have been adjusted to make things easier, or if you're already throwing in an extra amount of money in this son of a bitch, give more time and money to the effects team so they can smooth out the rough edges. But at least we'll get some standard Kevin Hart antics, right? Ah, crap, Kevin Hart abandoned his core appeal. I'm not one to say that actors can't or shouldn't get out of their comfort zones. Hell, that's one of the biggest problems with a lot of these Netflix movies, is that they're star vehicles for an actor's pre-existing image versus something new or fun. As I stare at Red Notice or whatever that terrible Gal Gadot spy movie was, I did watch it, I just can't remember the name. But the way this role is written and performed is all wrong for Kevin Hart. I can see what he's going for. He's trying to be a stoic, old-school action hero who speaks softly and lets his actions speak for himself. But Cyrus is devoid of personality or charms, and most notably, humor. One of my favorite parts of his second Jumanji go-round is that Hart is playing an amplified version of Danny Glover. He doesn't overplay it, but it is out of his usual wild little guy vibe, and it totally works. Here, it's like he's trying to mimic The Rock, but without the swagger or sense of humor even a standard Rock character brings. And this guy's supposed to be the Danny Ocean of this crew, just a wrong-headed decision for a movie that's supposed to be a fun action-adventure heist movie. Also, why are NFTs a core part of this movie's plot? I could go on a giant rant about how and why NFTs are terrible, but here's the real problem, including this crypto nonsense in your movie. It was a trend from over a year ago, and the NFT market has since cratered, so why is this in your movie? And the obvious answer is because this movie wanted to capitalize on a hot trend or buzzword that would make their movie stand out or appeal to a younger audience. And this never works. Ever. You ever watch The Net or Hackers or any other movie from the 90s about how the internet operates and what it looks like? If you have, you've probably experienced the ridiculous joy that comes from laughing at how wrong everything was, even at the time. Also, those movies bombed pretty hard. It also undermines a key theme in the movie, which is the reject the system attitude this movie runs with. For instance, Interpol and other law enforcement agencies aren't great. This is tech built by and for people with pre-existing wealth who are looking to scam people. So stealing from an NFT guy, not a bad idea. But instead, the technology becomes an integral part of their plan, all because of its cool virtues and features. Barf. No thanks. This might be the most petty of my complaints, but it's another example of how wrong-headed this movie is at every turn. The world has mostly rejected NFTs, and here's a movie telling us how they can help us stop terrorism, when in real life, crypto and NFTs are being used by terrorists in droves. The finger is far from the pulse here. And the verdict is, it's a frustrating mess. Though functional as a Saturday afternoon watch, Lyft irritated me to no end. 3 out of 10. This has been Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie World, for the latest reviews, discussions, and more. See you next time, everybody, and stay safe.